Our scripture reading this morning is the 130th Psalm. Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This is the inspired word of God. May he bless the reading of the scriptures. The text for the sermon this morning is verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the text we consider this morning for Holy Communion answers two very critical questions. And the first of them is, does God forgive? That is the burning question of Adam and Eve cowering in the cover of the trees in the Garden of Eden and trembling. And that's the question of the psalmist and the question of every agonizing, guilt-stricken sinner who cries out of the depths of his sin and misery. Is there forgiveness with God? And the answer to that question makes all of the difference in the world. The difference between unutterable agony and inexpressible bliss. It's the difference between heaven and hell. Does God forgive sin? Psalm 130 begins, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Is there forgiveness with God? And now the text answers, but there is forgiveness with thee. The second critical question that the text answers is why? Why does God forgive? God goes to such great lengths in our Lord Jesus Christ to proclaim unto us in the Holy Gospel. And this morning, through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, I forgive. I forgive all of your sins. Why does God forgive? The holy, just, and righteous God. Why does he forgive our sins? And the answer to that question is the peculiar revelation of the text before us this morning. Scripture states throughout that God forgives our sin. The important truth of this passage of Scripture is its answer to the question, why does God forgive our sin? And we can say right from the outset what every believer would expect to hear and what gladly every believer receives, that God forgives sins for his sake, for his glory, and for his honor, not first of all for us, but that ultimately he may have the praise. So the text teaches us, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. God forgives our sins so that we fear him as we ought and bring glory to his name. So in our celebration of Holy Communion this morning, let's consider for a few moments Psalm 130, verse 4, taking as our theme the purpose of God's forgiveness. And let's consider, first of all, God's forgiveness. Second, its purpose. And third, our acknowledgement. But there is forgiveness with God. With God. And the text makes this point emphatic, that there is forgiveness with God. First of all, it does that when it says, but there is forgiveness with thee. And those two words, with thee, that appear at the end of that first clause in our English translation, actually appear at the beginning of the clause in the original Hebrew, so that it reads, and it does this deliberately to emphasize the point that there is forgiveness with God. It reads, but with thee there is forgiveness. With thee. Secondly, the text makes emphatic the point that there is forgiveness with God by the use of this particular word, forgiveness. This biblical word, forgiveness, as it appears in this text, is never used in the Bible to refer to forgiveness among men, our forgiving of one another. But this word is only ever used with respect to God. And so it's emphasizing then the fact that there is forgiveness with God. And then in the third place, the way the text really drives home this point is by using the definite article, the. It doesn't appear in our English translation, but it does in the original Hebrew. The text states, as we read it, but there is forgiveness with thee. In the original Hebrew, but there is the forgiveness with thee. The forgiveness. There is a forgiveness, and that's our forgiving of one another, our sins. And that's very important. And we ought to be able to have the confidence that as we live in the body of believers in the church, He forgives. She forgives. I know He will not hold a grudge against me. I know she will not hold a grudge and be bitter forever. He forgives. She forgives. But that's not the most important thing, the most important forgiveness. For it is possible to live in God's covenant and to have peace and joy in God, even if we have someone in our life, a friend, a brother, a sister, a family member, who won't forgive us, who harbors bitterness against us, and even who hates us. It is still possible to have peace and joy in the covenant of God because another person's forgiveness of us, though it's important, it's not the main thing. It's not decisive, and it's not what matters for time and eternity, but the forgiveness does. And the forgiveness is God's forgiving of us. For God is God, and God is the one with whom we all have to do. He's our judge. He's our maker. He commands how we must live, and He inspects us. He can look right down into the depths of our heart. He's the one, nobody else does, He's the one who has the power to curse us, the power to damn us everlastingly in hell. He's the one who has the power to bless us, and to receive us. God. The text makes emphatic this point. There is forgiveness with God. The forgiveness is with God. There is forgiveness with God. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is that gracious act of God whereby He takes all of the marks of our sins and instead of imputing them into our account, He takes the marks of our sins and He puts them into the account of someone else and says, I pardon you, I forgive you, I remit all of your sins. The preceding verse says, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Who would ever be able to stand if God would take the marks for our sins, even one sin? In fact, set aside all our sins we commit and think just of our sinfulness in Adam. If God would mark our sinfulness to our account, then we would be guilty and we would have to pay. And that would mean we would have to go to hell and suffer the wrath of God forever because of the sin of our sinfulness. O Lord, if thou should start marking iniquities to our account, is there anyone anywhere in the world who can stand before thee? There is not, not even one. But there is forgiveness with God. Forgiveness, whereby he takes the marks of our sins and he puts them into the account of someone else who will pay for them, who will make the atoning sacrifice so that God forgives us and receives us and blesses us. There is forgiveness with God. And as soon as the psalmist says that, he is confidently confessing, there's a Savior. There's a mediator for me. The Savior, Jesus Christ, had not yet come. When the psalmist wrote these words in the old dispensation in Israel, he had never seen the Savior. But the psalmist is convinced that there is a Savior, that he is coming. Forgiveness cannot be found in this lamb whose blood is shed. It cannot be found in this bullock who is in the altar and in the flames of the altar. Forgiveness cannot be found in that high priest who goes behind the veil once a year to sprinkle blood on the Ark of the Covenant. There is no forgiveness with all these animals and with all these other men. In order for the psalmist to say, but there is forgiveness with thee, means the psalmist is persuaded with the full persuasion of faith that there is a Savior, there is a Redeemer, there's someone who will take all of these marks and pay for them so that God can forgive. The psalmist knew the promised Messiah, all the shadows of him in the old dispensation, and now he is set before us this morning in the Holy Gospel and through the tokens of God's love in the table prepared for us. We know him, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in a few moments, when you take that little piece of bread and when you take that little glass of wine, you need to think about Jesus and how his body was broken under God's wrath. His blood was shed under God's wrath. He made that perfect sacrifice on the altar of the cross in order for God to be able to say to you this morning, I do not mark your sins unto you. I have marked them unto my Son. I forgive you. I forgive all your sins. There is forgiveness with God. There is, but there is forgiveness with God. That's the reassuring word the psalmist so desperately needed to hear, for out of the depths he was crying unto the Lord. And as he sees the altar and what it points unto, he says with confidence, but there is forgiveness with thee. Now, isn't that a wonderful, wonderful, comforting truth? That's the heart of the gospel. There's forgiveness with God. No one else can say that besides the believing Old Testament saint, the believing Christian today. We have forgiveness with our God. The Muslim can't say that. There's no forgiveness with Allah. Those who worship the God of self, the God of sex, the God of money, the God of career, there's no forgiveness. Maybe you've read of accounts of Muslims who've been converted to Christianity. This is the issue right here. Right here. Those who used to live in the bondage of Islam, the fear of Islam, and all the terror. There's no way to appease the wrath of a God. There's no way to escape the guilty conscience because there's no forgiveness. And when God converts them by His sovereign grace and He brings them to a knowledge of Himself and Jesus Christ, there is unspeakable peace in this simple truth, which is the heart of the gospel. We sinners have forgiveness with God. But there is forgiveness with thee. Believe that. And don't suppose then that your sins are too great for God to forgive you, no matter the magnitude and the frequency and the consequences of your sins, there is forgiveness. Cry out unto God. God pardons. And don't try to pay for your own sins. You can't do that. Don't try to hurt yourself as a way to make payment. Some people try to do that. They starve themselves. They cut themselves. They hurt themselves. They berate themselves. They try to isolate themselves from everyone, from friends and family, and live all alone in misery as a way to try to appease God's wrath. They're so full of guilt and shame, they want to try to pay for their sins, so they try to bring suffering upon themselves. Don't do that. You don't have to do that. Listen, there is forgiveness with God. He does not mark our sins. And let not anyone then either take their sin lightly and dismiss all the warnings and admonitions of Scripture and merrily continue on their way living in sin. Repent. Confess your sins before God. And know that the God who commands us to repent is the God who forgives sin. There is forgiveness with thee. And who will deny that this morning with this lovely table prepared for us? As we just sang in Psalter number 233, He's ready to forgive. Not all men are. Not all of us are always so ready to forgive. We can often be very reluctant to forgive. After what you did or said to me, God, we just sang this, God is ready to forgive. He's willing to forgive. He's not only the God who works within us sincere repentance so that we cry out for forgiveness, He's the God who forgives us. And He confirms that through the tokens of His love in the Holy Supper this morning. Who is so gracious and merciful as our God? But there is forgiveness with thee. That. And now the text states the purpose of God's forgiveness, that thou mayest be feared. To fear God is to reverence Him and adore Him for all the glory of His being and for all the love that He shows to us. To reverence Him and to adore Him. And the man who fears God is the man who can't imagine anything worse than this: sinning against God. If He's so glorious and He's so full of love that we reverence Him and esteem Him and adore Him, then the worst possible thing we could ever imagine ever doing is sinning against Him. We fear God. The purpose of God in forgiving us is that we fear Him. The purpose of God in forgiving us is not, number one, that we dread Him in terror. The word fear in the text doesn't mean dread terror. If God wanted us to stand before Him and be filled with dread terror, He wouldn't forgive our sins, but He would say to us, I will not forgive you. That would fill us with dread terror. That's not the purpose. Neither is it the purpose of God in forgiving our sins that we become arrogant and full of presumption And now we start to live and talk like the antinomian and say, why don't we just live in sin and continue in sin? Law? Don't talk to me about law and rule and what I have to do. Let's live in sin. In fact, the more we live in sin, the more God will have opportunity to show His grace to us and forgive us. God does not forgive our sins so that we then respond and say, well, let's go live in sin. After all, God will just forgive us. Now, some people might think the text ought to say, but there is severe justice with God that He may be feared. How do you get men to fear God? Warn them that there's severe justice with God and He'll punish you for your sins. Now they'll fear God and walk in holiness. The text says, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. The forgiveness of God does not breed carelessness and profanity of life and presumption, as the enemies of grace allege. What is God's purpose in forgiving our sins? It's not that we be full of terror. It's not that we be full of presumption. Neither is it, first of all, that we be happy. The result of God forgiving our sins is that we are happy and full of joy, but that's not the first and ultimate purpose of forgiveness. This is, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. God forgives our sins so that then in our response of gratitude and praise and love, we look at Him and say, Lord, we revere Thee, we adore Thee, and we worship Thee, for Thou art glorious and Thou art full of love for us. Fear. Isaiah 43, verse 25, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. God's purpose in forgiving our sins is that we fear Him in worshiping Him, that we cry out, having been forgiven, who is so great a God as our God, so full of mercy and compassion, a God who forgives us, a God who in His perfect justice could mark all of our transgressions to our account and could declare us guilty and could punish us everlastingly in hell, for we have sinned against Him and we are guilty in Adam and we do have a sinful nature, but He doesn't. He pardons us of all of our iniquity and He makes us an heir of everlasting life. Who is a God like unto our God? That's the purpose of His forgiveness, that we respond unto Him by fearing Him, adoring Him, standing in awe of Him, hating sin before Him, fleeing from sin before Him, and striving to walk in obedience to His commandments. God forgives our sins so that we fear Him as our response to His forgiveness. If there's one in the universe, in the whole of the universe, who's worthy of fear, in reverent love, it's not the minister. It's not father or mother or grandfather or grandmother or the elderly saints in the church. It's not husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend. It's certainly not celebrity or athlete or the Pope. If there's someone in the universe who's worthy of bowing down before in reverence and love, it's not any man and certainly not the Pope. It's God. It's the one who can forgive us. It's the one who can bless us. God alone. God forgives us that we fear Him. Fear God. That's really the whole of our life. Two words. That's the Christian life. Two words. Fear God. Every moment of your existence, consciously stand before the greatness of God and adore Him. fear God. And what's the foundation for that whole life of fearing God? It's forgiveness. He forgives our sins that we fear Him. If God would not forgive sin, then who would fear Him? What if He didn't forgive sin? What if He did mark all transgressions ever committed to each man who commits them, and even to all of the little children, the infant children, the unborn children? Even the unborn children, they're already conceived in guilt. They have the guilt of their father Adam before they even commit one sin. Even the unborn children are guilty with the sin of Adam. What if God marked transgressions to every single man? Then all human beings would be guilty, and all human beings would be punished everlastingly in hell, which means every single person created would perish in hell, and there would not be one single person to fear God, to worship Him, to love Him, to bow down before Him. God could punish every human being for their sins, and He could cast all of us into hell in His perfect justice. We would all deserve it, but He doesn't. He forgives sin that for now, time in this world, and for eternity, He may have a people who fear Him, adore Him, and worship Him. If God would not graciously forgive, freely forgive, sovereignly forgive iniquity through Jesus Christ, but if God would forgive on the basis of our merits, then who would fear Him? If forgiveness were based upon what we do, who would fear God? I wouldn't fear Him. You wouldn't fear Him. We wouldn't boast in the Lord. We'd boast in ourselves. Or, knowing we would never be able to do enough to merit forgiveness, we'd be full of fear. Like Martin Luther, for the early part of his life, was full of fear. Or like Adam and Eve, having committed sin, were there cowering in the garden, full of fear. We'd all be full of fear, and eventually that fear becomes hatred. Then we not only are full of fear in the sense that we have dread terror before God, but then we hate God, and we despise Him, and we will blaspheme His name. But there is forgiveness with God, free gracious forgiveness on the basis of the merits of Jesus Christ, which we receive by faith. There is forgiveness with God in sovereign grace that we fear Him, worship and adore Him, the God of all grace and mercy. What is God's purpose in forgiving you your sins and forgiving me my sins and forgiving all of His people their sins? The text teaches us God's purpose is that we, by the power of the Spirit of Christ working in us, respond to that wonderful forgiveness by fearing Him in worship. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And this we acknowledge this morning. The text is our personal acknowledgement, our personal confession. Notice that in the text, God is not speaking to us. Now, of course, God speaks to us forgiveness. God reveals His forgiveness to us. How would we know there's forgiveness apart from God speaking it to us? But the words of the text are not God speaking to us saying, there is forgiveness with me, that I may be feared. The text is not the psalmist speaking to someone else. Let's say his son, who's quivering and shaking in terror as a guilty sinner. The psalmist isn't speaking to another person saying, there is forgiveness with God, that he may be feared. But the text is the psalmist who is down in the depths of the agony of his guilt and shame and misery as a sinner. The text is the psalmist looking at God in heaven through the mediator Jesus Christ and speaking to God and saying directly to God, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. This is our acknowledgement, our confession that we make to God this morning. God, my God, I know it, I believe it. There is forgiveness with thee. That's a personal acknowledgement to God in the covenant. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And this is a joyful acknowledgement. This is a psalm, a song. It was written to be sung so that we sing to God, oh God, I know there is forgiveness with thee. And it's a song that was written as a part of the collection of psalms called the Songs of Degrees or the Psalms of Ascent, meaning this is one of the songs that the Israelites would take on their pilgrimage when they would leave their homeland and they would make their journey all the way to Mount Zion and then ascend Mount Zion to go up into the temple to bring worship and praise to God. And from their home to the temple, all the way, they sang the Songs of Degrees or the Songs of Ascent as they went up Mount Zion. And we really do the same thing today. Every week, as it were, we make our way back to God's house on the first day of the week, on the Lord's Day. But from a bigger picture perspective, our whole life is a pilgrimage on our way to the Zion which is above, the everlasting Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. And all the way, with joy in our hearts, we sing the joyful acknowledgement of the text. And we sing it to God and say, in the confidence of faith, there is forgiveness with thee. I know it. I have it. I enjoy it. There is forgiveness with thee. Why? Not first of all for my enjoyment, but that we together on this pilgrimage, that all thy people everywhere will fear thee as we ought to fear thee, the God who is worthy of all of us bowing down before thee and giving worship and homage to thee forever and ever. There is, O God, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this song of the psalmist, and we pray thou wilt now put the words of it in our heart as we gather before thee and at thy table of holy communion to rejoice in all thy plenteous mercy toward us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.